1 Peter chapter 5. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. The title of the message this evening is this, as we look at this verse 4, keeping at it. Keeping at it. Now, obviously, as in context, these words are speaking to the leader of the church, under shepherd of Christ, the one pastor in the church. Nonetheless, as with all the word of God, there is that much more for us to learn. We apply the word of God, all of the word of God, to ourselves, and we learn much from it. And even here in this short portion, we see not only the leaders of the church, but those each members of the church are encouraged to keep going, because that which is referred to here by the apostle is not just that which awaits leaders in the church. It's that which awaits all who are true believers on the Lord Jesus. We're one in Christ Jesus. You see, this teaching that there are special degrees for different people in glory, it has no grounding really in the word of God. We all shall receive the same inheritance in glory. But nonetheless, the Apostle Peter is speaking in particular, in context, to these leaders of these scattered believers. Firstly, I want you to see here, as he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. We see that the Lord Jesus Christ is yet to appear in glory. The Lord Jesus Christ is yet to come again. This, of course, is a teaching that the church, that each individual believer, if we be honest, we forget so soon. We don't always live each day in the light of the Lord's return. And we do well to remind ourselves constantly that the Lord is coming quickly. The Lord is coming soon. And we are to be ready to meet with the Lord. Even though we are ready, clothed in his righteousness, we are needful to be ready to be found faithful at his return. And firstly, we see this evening, service given over to our precious Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ is all in the light of his certain return. It's all in the light of his certain return. As the Lord gave that parable of the ruler of the house coming back and finding his servant, his unfaithful servant, not about his work. That which stirs us on is that we know our Lord is coming soon, and we delight to please him, to be found about his work, to hear his voice saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That which the Saviour says of, "Behold, I come quickly," he says. He says, "I come quickly." I come. I love the words. They are most definite. He's not just saying, I am coming. He says, I come quickly. As certainly as he said the words in Psalm 40 of his first appearing, when he came to redeem our souls, he says, behold, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. And now he says, I come. He says to us now, I come. I come. Oh, the Lord Jesus is at hand. The Lord is at hand. As the Apostle Paul told the Philippians in Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. He's at hand. He's near. And so this inspires us to serve him now. For now is the only hour we have. He is the ruler and owner of all things. And so particularly in context here, he is the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. There are many shepherds who are overseers, under shepherds, who the Lord raises up, has raised up throughout the ages, continues to raise up. But they are but under shepherds. They are servants of the king. They are serving him in serving his flock. But they are not the shepherd. Oh, they're not the shepherd. The chief shepherd is yet to appear. The chief shepherd. The shepherd of the souls of each one of his flock. The one who none of these under shepherds, no matter how sincere we may be, we can never be as the Saviour is. Who looks upon his sheep constantly. Who guides his sheep constantly. Who indeed guards his sheep constantly. The chief shepherd will appear soon. He appears. He will appear. Many shall say and continue to say, where is he who is returning? As they said to the church at Thessalonica, where is the Lord? Where is his appearing? They have mocked the fact of his appearing to hasten in the end since he ascended up on high. But he comes soon. He's the chief shepherd, the one whose sheep, the flock, the church are. They are his. It is he, the good shepherd, who did lay down his life and take it again for his elect people. Sure, there are under shepherds who have paid a high price. Many have paid a high price. Many have been persecuted and tortured and killed, continue to today. Some went to the stake, some were drowned, some were sawn in two, some were crucified. But nonetheless, it is only the chief shepherd who gave himself for the sheep, for the souls of his sheep, to redeem his people. None of these men, however faithful today or in the past, could indeed do anything to redeem the sheep. It is the chief shepherd who has overcome for his people. Each one in turn then entrusted to the care of under shepherds, pastors, to care for their spiritual welfare, to feed them their good spiritual food. And so the apostle indeed encourages and reminds those overseeing the church, shepherd the flock. Because the chief shepherd appears soon. But secondly, as the apostle says here, To those elders in the church, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. He surely shows that it is better to live here in the flesh to the pleasure of God rather than worldly gain. He's already alluded to it about the fact of the under shepherd is not to be after dishonest gain. For those who are exposed as such, as the greedy defrauders of God's heritage, they are called here, of God's heritage, do not have any part in this crown of glory. Do not have any part in it. They are as the Pharisees of old that the Lord Jesus said, they have their reward. They have their reward. In fact, that which faithful pastors receive, this which is called a crown of glory, is not so much a reward, but the inheritance of all true men of God called to carry out this work. It's an evidence that they were called of God. It's an evidence that God raised them up, that God caused them to be about his work, that God moved through them, and it's the inheritance showing that they belong to God. All being of God's matchless grace. The crown being symbolic. It's a symbolic term. It's not talking about someone being of greater value before God than anyone else. The crown is symbolic. It's a symbolic mark of those who are truly called of God. And the idea being not of a glittering golden crown. It is of a garland, as the people would have understood in those days. A garland like as would be put on the heads of athletes completing a race. That's the crown we're talking about here. It's the completing of that which they were raised up unto. But thirdly, each and every child of God, called by the grace of God, shall receive the crown of glory. Each child of God shall receive the crown of glory. For that being evidence that you belong to Christ. That Christ set you upon in that race of faith and caused you to certainly finish it. Entering heaven's glory. It is an evidence that you belong to Christ. And it is placed upon you by the Lord Jesus himself when you have completed that race that is set before you. Only such as complete the race, you see, the race of faith, receive the crown of glory. But who is it? Who is it that begins us in the race of faith? It is the Lord Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of our faith. It is God Almighty who indeed began a good work in you. He will surely complete it unto the day of Christ. It is all of his grace. It is all of his mercy. It is all of his doing. God's word compels those whose trust be in Christ and his finished work at the cross to make you righteous before the holiness of God. He compels us with these words. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That cloud of witnesses referred to in Hebrews 11, who had the same faith. They were gifted the same faith to trust upon the same Saviour God. they are witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily, this doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus has gone before us on that race, and we go in his footsteps, but he has gone before us. He has indeed run the greater race for us. He's gone before us and he's finished his race. And we follow him, looking unto him in that race of faith. And he shall bring us over the line. He shall bring us certainly, surely unto glory. But fourthly, it is better. It is far, far better. Far, far better to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The chief shepherd comes soon. The Lord Jesus is soon to return. And he shall give this crown of glory to all his people. There are people in this world who think it is better for now to live for gain. It is good to live for success and advancement in this world. And they are blinded by this. And they cannot see through these riches. It is the deceitfulness of riches. And they are, sadly, they are those whom the seed was sown amongst thorns. The cares of this world, they grow up and they strangle, and the seed does not grow. They cannot see. They cannot see the kingdom of God through these riches. They cannot see that these riches are but for a season. They cannot see that there is far greater riches in Christ Jesus. Believers should not seek. Believers should not be such as seek to make enormous stashes of money and wealth in this world. Yes, wealth may come. It came to many of God's servants that we read of in the Word of God. It's come to many in this world in the last few hundred years. But there are those who God made wise with their wealth to use it wisely. Such men as Charrington, who was willing to forsake the wealth, forsake the name, forsake that inheritance of that great brewery company to serve his God instead. There were those who used their influence like Lord Shaftesbury with the ragged school missions to preach the gospel. Yes, KFC, Colonel Sanders. He gave his profits to the Lord because he knew he couldn't outgive his God. But riches can be deceitful. We should never seek to lay and cast away in bigger barns as that parable speaks, holding on to our wealth. Though the world encourages us to grab as much as we can. For the Saviour said these words to us in Matthew 6, and we know them so well, and yet we can forget them. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The apostle says here, he says to those who are the elders of the church, but he says to every believer, when the chief shepherd appears, when the Lord Jesus comes again, there's something which shall be received by every one who is found faithful, who has believed to the end, who has walked with the Lord Jesus, who indeed walks by faith, not by sight. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. It's going nowhere. Everything else will be burnt up. Everything else will go. It's like a vapor. It will disappear. But not this. This does not fade away. The riches, the spiritual fortune that is in Christ Jesus certainly does not fade away. It is eternal in the heavens. Now you may have a favourite item of clothing or anything, whatever it is. It could be a trinket or something, whatever it is. But the older it gets, the colour fades. It wears out. But this inheritance, this crown of glory, Jesus gives his people, will never change. It will never decay. Fifthly, we see, as we wait for the chief shepherd, the master, the Lord from heaven, to appear, yes, in great glory of his holy angels. Let us consider for a few moments another crown. It is a crown that declares a finished race. It is a crown that declares a job completed. For as our wonderful Saviour was finishing the work on earth he came to do, when he gladly went to the cross to redeem his people, another crown or laurel was given to him. Well, this was a cruel crown. This was a mocking crown, and yet nonetheless declares to us a finished work. A crown of thorns was plaited and pushed down onto the Saviour's beautiful head, declaring to you, your suffering King, that you are, who are his own special people, be set forth in heaven as the royal children of the King, diadems, trophies of his grace. Yet he goes to the cross for the joy that was set before him. And he gladly takes the crown. And so, as we ponder these things, as we ponder our chief shepherd who appears soon, as we think on this crown of glory that shall be ours and is ours, let us live in the light, in the sure and certain light of the Lord's imminent return. and set your affection on things above. Oh, our affection is so often here on earth. Lord, set my affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The things on the earth are fading away. They are fading fast. They shall be burnt up, despite what everyone tells us. This is certain, this earth shall be burnt up. And there shall be a new earth, a new heaven, a new earth in which righteousness reigns. That which each one trusting Christ shall soon receive is not only called the crown of glory, this same crown, this same laurel, it is called a crown of life, of eternal life. Eternal life is ours now, we know. We have passed from death to life. That's what the Lord Jesus assures us. As we believe on him, it is evidence we have passed from death to life. But yet, eternal life is yet to truly, completely be known. The crown of life is waiting us. Having finished the race set before us. James 1:12. And so you who call upon the name of and believe on the Saviour, each one, you can say, each one, you can say along with the apostle, henceforth there is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. When is that day? It's the day that comes soon, when Jesus the Lord, the chief shepherd, shall appear with great glory, suddenly, with the trump of God and the shout of the archangel. He shall give me at that day. But not me only. Not me only, he says. Aren't you glad it's not just going to the Apostle Paul? The Lord gives it to each one. But unto all them also that love his appearing. As it is appointed for men to die once, and after this the judgment, so Christ was offered to bear the sins of many, and he shall appear a second time unto those who look for his appearing, who love his appearing. Oh, how much better to be righteous before your God than to be rich before men.